नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Text 5, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tvam Nunam Asuranam Naha Parokshaha Paramaha Guruhu Yaha Naha Aneka Mada Andhanam Vibhrangsham Chakshuhu Adishat Tvam Nunam Asuranam Na Parokshah Paramo Guruhu Yo no neka madandhanam Vibhrangsham chakshur adishat Tvam nunam asuranam na Paroksha paramo guruhu Yo no neka madandhanam Vibhrangsham chakshur adishat Paroksha paramo guruhu Une kamadandhanam Vibhrangsham chakshuradishat Tvam, your lordship Nunam, indeed Asuranam of the demons, Naha, as we are, Parokshaha, indirect, Paramaha, the supreme, Guruhu, spiritual master, Yaha, your lordship, Naha, of us, Aneka, many, Mada Andhanam, blinded by material opulences. Vibhrangsham, destroying our false prestige. Chakshuhu, the eye of knowledge. Adishat, gave. Verse translation. Bali Maharaj, speaking to Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of a mannequin, dwarf, midget. Since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige. By chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Purport. Bali Maharaj considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead a better friend to the demons than to the demigods. In the material world, the more one gets material possessions, the more he becomes blind to spiritual life. The demigods are devotees of the Lord for the sake of material possessions. But although the demons apparently do not have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their side, he always acts as their well-wisher by depriving them of their positions of false prestige. By false prestige, one is misguided, so the Supreme Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shatiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamarupurim Maturim Goshta Vartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyataf Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidyamstra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare This whole pastime of Vamana and Bali, it's full of what in, you'd say in Tamil, it's adbhutamana. It's wondrous, causing wonder. And that is the nature of lila. That's the nature of rasa. Rasa, in the spiritual definition, the full definition, that which is always wonderful. Krishna's always new and fresh. Here, Srila Prabhupada elucidates the point that Bali Maharaj is saying, which is not only adbhutamana, but it's ascharyamana. Do you say that also? It's amazing how it can be considered that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a greater friend to the demons than to the demigods. I didn't say devotees. But he is samoham sarvabhuteshu. He is equal to all. And Krishna says then after that, name dvesho sino priha. But by the way, I do like my devotees. Ye bhajanti tu maam bhaktya. They maite teshu chapyam. Yeah, but I must admit, I'm not biased, but a little bit biased. Actually, I fully support my devotees. So here Bali Maharaj is saying something unusual. It seems to us unusual. We have in Vishnu Sahasranam two of the many names, approximately 1,000 names. 1,000 names. One is Vatsala and one is Bhakta Vatsala. So Vatsala means Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's the best well-wisher of all. And Bhakta Vatsala means especially for his devotees. He's especially Vatsala. He maintains, protects, nourishes, has affection for his devotees in particular. So I have to come to the name Bhakta Vatsala in Vishnu Sahasranama. So I just made a note. I have to remember this now. That he's Bhakta Vatsala, but he's also abhakta vatsala, in some other way, in an indirect way. Here, we have the word in this verse, parokshaha, indirectly. Paroksha parama guru. You're indirectly the best guru of us all. He's speaking this, Bali Maharaj is speaking this in the presence of Shukra, who must be... I thought I had an intelligent disciple, but he's just a fool. You know. But looking out at the side of it, speaking to Vamana and just looking a little side to Shukra. He's actually the Parama Guru. He's the Supreme Guru. Vamana is the Supreme Guru. Your Guru, okay, but he's the Supreme Guru. We say that, don't we? We say our grandfather, spiritual master, is our Parama Guru. Parama means superior to, in this case. But it also gives the understanding that a guru can be a guru by following his guru. We have to check. There's a system of checks and balances. We have to see, this person, he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, but does he follow Srila Prabhupada? Does he speak as Prabhupada speaks? Otherwise, he's a Shukra Guru. He may give you material benefits, but he himself is bewildered and not fit to be a guru. So there's so much to say in about every verse. I'll backtrack to what I was speaking about yesterday, which was observations on the pastimes of Vamanadeva, or particularly this pastime for which he's most famous, and particularly the role of Bali Maharaj, who comes out more glorious. Vamana comes out, what's Vamana's reputation? Well, it depends who we ask, doesn't it? Whether we ask the devotees or the demons. So we should ask the devotees, is Vamana good or not? So who are the best devotees? The gopis, let's ask the gopis, what do they say about Vamana? They say to Krishna, we know, we heard from Purnamasi that previously as Vamana, there was this good king, Bali, very generously gave you everything. He offered you everything and you just cheated him and punished him and tied him up and sent him down to hell. What can we expect from you? So that's what the gopis say about Vamana. But Bali Maharaj's reputation is spotless, both with the demons and with the devotees. Right now the demons are feeling miffed and bewildered, but overall they accept him. You'll see in the list of the demons, Bali Maharaj's name always comes. Great personality. So going back to the previous verse, that also the Paramaguru is Krishna, Vamana. And in the previous verse, Bali Maharaj said that a mother, a father, a brother, a well-wisher, they wouldn't punish anyone in the way you're punishing me. So indirectly, again, paroksha. Paroksha vada rishayo, parokshaṁ ca mama priyaha. In Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava, echoing a Upanishadic statement, or maybe the Upanishadic statement is echoing him. It's all, that's Shruti, that's directly from Krishna. So Krishna says that the rishis, they sometimes speak in roundabout ways, and I like that too. So in a roundabout way, Bali Maharaj, because he can't directly say to his guru, and to all the demons, that actually you think you're my well-wishers and friends and all this, and you think that I'm your well-wisher and I'm your friend, but really, Vamana is our well-wisher, relative, and friend by punishing me in this way. It's accepted that a well-wisher or a friend may punish someone for their good, but not in the manner that they completely smash them. So it can be seen in two ways. From the external perspective, what Bali Maharaj is saying, he's blaming Vamana. It's just too much what you're doing. But then he clarifies that in the next verse, which we read today, that actually your punishment, it's that's stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat also, that the great benediction is Chaitanya Danda, the punishment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So indirectly, for those who are a little subtle in their understanding, he's saying that the real mother, father, brother, well-wisher is Krishna. And even if he punishes you in what maybe appear to be the worst way, we should always understand that it's for our well-being, if we can cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada mentions about that in the first canto. In, I believe it's Bhishma's discussion of the fate of Yudhishthira and his brothers, who, to all external appearances, had gone through so well, external or any appearances, had gone through so much difficulty. And then Yudhishthira was so distressed that it came out of this difficulty, but at what cost? I had to kill so many people. What Arjuna was lamenting, or what was fearing before the battle actually came to pass, that we killed so many people, including friends and brothers, and gurus, and so he was lamenting. And Bhishmadev says that the plan of the Lord is inscrutable. We can't understand it, but we should try to cooperate with it, not blame him, to go along with that and accept it. It's a great discussion among philosophers and maybe motivational speakers in the present day, that one thing is fate and another thing is our own endeavor. So the motivational speakers, they try to motivate you. Utishta jagrata prapya varang nibodhata. They don't exactly say that, but they get up, wake up, become aware of what is possible for you. Of course, in the Upanishads, when it said that, it doesn't mean you become some idiot materialist, but it means that you become serious about understanding the opportunity of human life to get freedom from all thoughts of becoming a great person in the material world. So the motivational speaker, they want to motivate you. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. You have to believe in yourself. I just believe in me. I can do it. I can push back fate. My fate is that whenever I talk in the class, the power goes off. The sound goes off. I can push it back. Okay. No, not okay. Is it fate or is it Dillian Salem? It's all his fault. Any fault, blame Hrishika. Chato dosh, nanda dosh. It's all his fault. It's always someone else's fault. Yeah, you can do. You can push forward. You can do it. You can get ahead. This discussion came up when Rama, he told Lakshman, okay, I'm going to go to the forest. And Lakshman said, what are you talking about? He said, well, it's fate. What can we do? If the situation has come like this, what can we do? And Lakshman says,
To hell with this fight. I've got my bows and arrows by myself. You just sit here by myself. I will push back this fight. I'll go and kill Dasharatha and Kaikeyi right now and put you on. I'll coronate you myself. And then Ram's, cool down. He often had to say to Lakshmana, cool down a bit. Actually, we have to take the hand that is served to us. So this, in the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted this one. Satenu kampam susamikshamana bhunjana evatma kritam vipaham
kritvagva Ridvagvapubi viditan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. One should accept one's fate, thinking that, well, I deserved it. And not, instead of trying to reverse one's fate or overcome it, one should utilize the human form of life for hearing, chanting about, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engaging in His service. And in this way we can conquer over fate in the superlative manner by getting out of this material world altogether. Yesterday I was also speaking about Bali Maharaj's courage to live for the truth, to live in truth, even knowing that it would be much easier in many ways not to live in the truth. He was directly offered the opportunity by Shukra that you can tell a lie. You see, I have a shastric evidence for this. In this case, it's okay to tell a lie. That story comes up. Where is that? That someone goes to... Where was that? Maybe that was in the first edition of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. A lot of things got edited out of that while Prabhupada was present in this world. There are things like drinking water underwater on a fast day so people don't know. Things like that. You go for Ganga Snan, you're near Jal and drink some water. So things like that. There was one thing that someone goes to the Bhattacharya, the pundit who tells you what to do, atonement. Oh, someone I know, they killed a spider, so what's the atonement? Oh, you have to follow the Chandrayana fast, very difficult, you have to do so many things. And then the person says, well, actually it's your son who did that. And So he looks through his books and says, well, actually, there is another way. Like this. So, cheating. It's easier to live. Living is easy with eyes closed. Quote from Paul McCartney, I believe. It's easy to live. It would have been easy for Bali Maharaj to say, okay, I got my guru told me after all. I did promise, but it was in jest. That's one of the conditions, right? It's all in jest to bring a woman under control. To what else? For in great danger. So there were actually he was in great danger, but he could say, "Well, it was just a joke. I'm not going to give you 3 steps of land." But that wouldn't have saved Bali Maharaj, theoretically, if he did it. If he did that, then Vamana would have found some other way to fulfill his purpose. He doesn't go back to Lord Brahma and said, well, I tried. It didn't work. Woo! He didn't say that. He can't. He's Vishnu, after all. He can't go to Lord Brahma. Everyone else complains to Lord Brahma, but Vishnu... He can't complain to Lord Brahma. Brahma goes and complains to him. So he's really got to do or die. And in Vishnu's case, there's no question of dying. So there's no way to overcome. Fate, we talk about fate. Daivam chaivatra panchamam, the fifth principle in any activity. Fate is there. Well, that means the hand of God. The hand of God is the will of God. No one can stop it. The desire of God is inexorable. You can't go against it. So Bali Maharaj, he had enough sense to understand all these things. And therefore, the main thing he understood, exactly what was going on, he didn't know, but he had enough sense to understand that, yeah, I have the opportunity now to surrender everything to Vishnu. It's worth doing it. Just like Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labante Yudham Yidrisham. The Kshatriyas become very happy when they have an opportunity to fight. So a devotee should become very happy when he has the opportunity to surrender to Krishna. The opportunity is there all the time, but there may be some particular tests. Then he has the great opportunity. We sing Manasa Deho Geho Jo Kichumo, and then when it's tested, then we have to see. There are so many instances. Raghava Pandit Das Brahmachari, now known as Bhakti Raghav Swami, there was an attack on the temple in Mayapur by Gundas. And he went, he has one leg, he goes on crutches. Well, previously his other leg didn't work properly anyway. So he limped over to the temple. What's he going to do against a gang of Gundas? But he went with the idea, let me protect. He didn't run away like some others did, locking the door from inside and all this. He went out. There was the test. He's ready to give his life. Actually, he only has one leg because they threw a bomb which blew off his leg, and he was sitting there in the dark in a pool of blood chanting Hare Krishna. So that was the test. We don't always get that kind of test. How are we going to surrender to Krishna? So Bali Maharaj was very happy to accept that. He had the courage to live in truth at the vital moment. Every moment's a vital moment, but sometimes we have more opportunity to surrender to Krishna. Just like someone may be talking about courage, someone may be a very brave person, but you don't know. You can be very brave sitting at home, yeah, we're going to go out there and we're going to kill all the... And then when the battle comes, suddenly you have to repair your car or something like that. That is, Prabhupada used to quote that. What is that about the monkeys? Barabara, barabara bandar, barabara pet, lankar dingye, hoye hate, something like that. Maybe. Is our Kishori Mohan there? Thik boletsi? Lank? Jane na? Ami shun, Prabhupada teke shunetsi. Lankar dingye hoye heat. That means they're big, big monkeys with big, big bellies, but when it comes to jumping to Lanka, all of a sudden they become not so courageous. So Bali Maharaj is an inspiration for all of us. We have to face, we are lucky if we can face difficulties. Srila Prabhupada sent his disciples out to distribute books. It was very difficult, especially in those days. It was quite common that devotees would get physically assaulted in the Western countries. I mean, not that it happened every day, but it wasn't uncommon. Physically abused, not so much, but verbally abused a lot of the time. Devotees had the courage to keep on going and being chased by the police and so many things. So that was Prabhupada's mercy on them, that they could practically surrender to Krishna by taking up a service which is very difficult. Because they had the courage to like Bali Maharaj, to live in the truth, to live for the truth, that Krishna is the supreme truth. Our spiritual master wants us to distribute these books. We have to do it. By any means, we have to get these books distributed. They had a lot of courage. Some people noted that when devotees, it happened once, there's one incident, one devotee is distributing books, all of a sudden someone comes up to him, punches him in the face, he falls on the ground, and then he gets up, gathers his books, and goes on distributing. People noted that. They have, whatever you may say, they have a lot of courage. Courage can come from intoxication also. As we hear about intoxicated elephants. In Indian history, they used to give the fighting elephants, before they went out to battle, they would give them lots of wine to drink. So the elephants became intoxicated. Then they would go out to fight, and then there'd be... There's a beer in England called Courage Beer. It's named after the founder of the company almost 300 years ago. His name was John Courage, but I always used to think the idea, you drink beer and then you get... You don't know, because I presume most of you never drank beer. Maybe some of you did. Beer, wine, whiskey, it all has a similar effect. You can get a lot of courage. You can, and you become aggressive. But that's not actual courage. That's recklessness. Courage should be tempered by discrimination. You could call it courage to go out and fight one person against 500. But what would be the point? You wouldn't achieve anything. I may say, I just told the story of Bhakti Raghav Swami. That was for protecting Krishna. That's different. But if we think that if we have to fight, okay, I'll go out by myself. Courage, yeah, but it's reckless. Discrimination is the better part of valor. One should also be intelligent and not try to take on battles which one can't win. Of course, that jayastu pandu putranam yesham pakshe janadana. That might have seemed to be the case with the Pandavas. They were up against a numerically far superior army, and the best fighters were on the other side. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purport that Arjuna was just like a fig in comparison to Bhishma. Although he had defeated him once, at least, at the when he was... Arjuna, dressed as a eunuch, defeated all the Kauravas by himself. But that was the general understanding. So it seemed impossible. But Krishna was on their side, so they were able to conquer. But courage, yes. Discrimination also, yes. Courage, simply to be courageous, is not very laudable. To be full of beer and then go and fight, that's not very courageous. So go and fight some terrorism, that's not courage. Or it's courage for the wrong cause. That's in tamagun. The intoxicated courage is in tamagun. But the courage to live by the truth, that is in sattvagun. So Bali Maharaj, he knew because he'd heard from Prahlad Maharaj. He knew what he had to do. He was an undercover devotee. No one knew. It was a big shock for the demons. Who the demons, they are... Srila Prabhupada translates that as sworn to untruth. What's the Sanskrit for that? If you find in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, they're sworn to untruth. We have Asatyam, description of the demons. Praviting, they don't know what is truth. No, swan to unclean works, Prabhupada says. Asuchi vrataha, they're swan to unclean works. Then we have pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janana vidura suraha. Na socham na picha charo, na satyam teshu vidyate. They do not know what is proper, what is improper, neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truth are found in them. So demons, they're swan to untruth. They live in untruth. The idea that Ishvaro ham aham bhogi, siddho ham balavan suki. Bali Maharaj, he personified this externally. I am the controller. I'm controller of all the worlds. I'm the enjoyer of all the worlds. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. He personified that. But he knew this is just a charade. This is not real. He's a king, and then the next day he's a prisoner. That happens all the time, doesn't it? In the material world. King and then prisoner. You had in your country all the big generals conquering, and then they were arrested for war crimes. So that's a common thing. Napoleon, the scourge of Europe, was arrested and exiled, made a prisoner. In the next verse, which we're going to read tomorrow, Krishna willing. Yasmin vairandhubena, vairanubandhena, anubandha. It's tied up in a relationship of enmity. So the demons, they like untruth. And even what they say is truth is untruth. And especially, I mentioned that yesterday, especially in the modern age, the beliefs and opinions are accepted as facts. And people, even if you give good evidence that what they believe in is not true, they don't want to accept it. Just like, just one example of many, there was a case in India of a boy born in a young boy born in a Brahmin family. They were vegetarians, I think they were Vaishyas, something, Guptas, something like that. And then, but he kept on talking about his previous family and his previous life. He said, "I want to eat eggs." You know, where do you get the idea to eat eggs? And then they took him, it was some Muslim family in some village, some 100 kilometers away or something. And he knew all the names of the people, and he said, "Why don't you make me that egg preparation?" It's very embarrassing for these Hindus. And there's all the evidence that this boy was a reincarnation of one of their family members. But when the people in the Muslim family said, "Well, looks like your relative got reincarnated," "We don't believe in reincarnation. It cannot be because we don't believe in it. There's no other way that he could know all these things, but we don't believe in it." And in fact, the whole scientific research by Dr. Ian Stevenson is shelved by the scientific orthodoxy because we don't believe in it. And they'll put all kinds of doubts on it. But when they come up with some crackpot theory which seems to, in their stupid eyes, seems to support their crackpot ideas, they'll take some evidence which is not evidence at all. It's maybe something, it's a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of evidence. Yes! Evolution proved. You see that we put some finches emigrated from one part of the world to another, and the color of their beaks changed. This proves evolution. Don't laugh. Science class, no laughing allowed. Living, it takes courage. If you're going to if you stand up in the science class and say, everything you said sounds very nice, but actually all this idea of evolution, it's a bunch of rubbish. And then you get thrown out of the class. And even if a big scientist says, they get thrown. I spoke about that the other day, Fred Hoyle, the astronomer, maybe the biggest astronomer in the world, was exiled from the astronomical community because he failed, or he didn't subscribe to their Big Bang theory. After looking at the evidence, he interpreted it in a different way. He's out. His memory, he died, but his memory is that of a very talented scientist who went crazy. Scientific, and his ideas were all wrong. So honesty is tough. Even to be honest with ourselves is very tough. And in one of the offerings to Srila Prabhupada, 2020 Vyasa Puja offerings in the Prabhupada tributes, one of my god sisters wrote about being brutally honest with ourselves. Brutally honest. Brutal. It gives the idea of being ferociously aggressive, brutally honest. Whew. If we really look at ourselves, I'm doing quite good. I get up in the morning, I go to Mangalati, chant Hare Krishna, chant on my rounds, I'm a good devotee. Take a look. Take a deeper look. If we're brutally honest with ourselves, I'm not sure if we should be brutally honest, because we'd all get totally discouraged, probably, and think I'm a completely hopeless case. But thinking like that can be good if we realize that really our only hope is Krishna. As in many songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Tava Kripa Bina Shakali Nirasha Deho More Padashray, without your mercy everything is disappointment, useless, hopeless, simply praying for the shelter of your lotus feet. Brutal honesty. It's easier to be brutally honest with others, but being brutally honest about ourselves, it's we need to be, but at the same time, we can't get hung up on our disqualifications. We have to be ashabandha in the qualities of a devotee in the stage of bhav. One of them is ashabandha. He has great hope. Even though he realizes his disqualification, he has great hope that Krishna will save me despite my disqualifications. But it is good to look at ourselves sometimes and with courage and look, sometimes, all the time. But if all the time, the thing is we have to go on with service also. We can't stop our sadhana and our service just being overwhelmed by our disqualification. Then we realize, what is our qualification? Yogyata vichare kichu nahi pae tomara karunasha. I don't have any qualification. But you're praying here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to his guru. Your mercy is all that I made, with that understanding. Otherwise, what do we have? It's all, Srila Prabhupada said, it's like having a bunch of zeros. If you put a one at the beginning, it becomes good. But what happens if you have a bunch of minuses? That's our position. We may say, well, I have all these zeros, but what about a bunch of minuses? Then, Tava Kripa Bina Shakalini Rasha, without the mercy of Krishna, everything is completely hopeless for us. Bali Maharaj got the mercy of Krishna and he took the test. In American culture, what do they call that? The red pill, blue pill, something like that. The red pill is the truth, is it? Do you know? You don't know either. There's a red pill and the blue pill. I don't know. Any average American would know this. There's some movie, The Matrix. I saw part of it once on a big screen when I was probably flying from, I don't know, somewhere intercontinental or something. I wasn't listening, but I thought, this is a film for adults, and there's some guy jumping out of a skyscraper in New York and flying in the air. And I think, well, people look, and I saw at the end, it says The Matrix. I thought it's a blockbuster movie. It's meant millions of people watch it. It's like some kid's story or something. But there's something like, what is it? If you take the red pill, then you see things as they are. And if you take the blue pill, you live in an illusion. Something like that. But their idea of truth is also an illusion. What is it? If you're actually some blob in a test tube, but they wired you up so you think that there's a real world out there. And then if you take the red pill, then you understand you're just a blob in a test tube. But that's also an illusion. Just like they want the truth. We want the truth. We want to know what really happened when 9/11, what really happened? What really happened was there are a bunch of people in Maya, in some buildings, and someone who was also in Maya killed them. And other people who are in Maya want to know how they killed them. But it doesn't really help anyone to get out of Maya if you know how they were killed. What are you going to do if you find out the CIA did it? The Saudis did it. The Israelis did it. And then what do you do when you find out? Then what do you do? As if by finding out you're going to stop all kinds of skullduggery in the world. It's going on all the time. Don't be surprised if people act in a demoniac. Whether it is actually the official story or the unofficial story, it doesn't help us to know that kind of truth. The truth about the material world is that it's a place of misery, dukkhalayama shashvatam. And we have to get out of it and surrender to Krishna. So Bali Maharaj, he understood this. There's no need for brutal honesty for Bali Maharaj. For a pure devotee, there's no need. He's here for him, he sees the truth. He sees Krishna everywhere. He literally sees the truth everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chaya mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sacame na pranashyati. He always sees Krishna. And Krishna always sees everything, but he especially likes to see the devotee. He's always living in Krishna. He's living in the truth. And people are living in untruth, say, Hare Krishna, these people, they're just wandering around and singing some songs, dressing in some funny clothes. And they don't realize this is reality. And everything else, Ritayatam, what is that verse? Ritayatam? No, I forgot. Ritayatam yad pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani yad vidyad atmano mayang yatabhasam yato tamaha. Yatatamaha. Anything which is conceived of being real or true, if conceived of with as being not in relation to me, it is simply a reflection in the darkness, a little sliver of truth, not actual reality. So therefore, tamasima jyotirgamaya, come out of the darkness into the light. Bali Maharaj is very grateful. He was living in the darkness of association of demons, thinking he's the king of the demons. He's the light has come to him. When Vamanadeva came, he was, even from a distance, he was seen as being more effulgent than millions of suns. The light personally came to him. Some people want to merge into the light, but Vamana, the light, came to Bali Maharaj, delivered him from illusion, and Bali Maharaj is very grateful for that. So all glories to Bali Maharaj. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We'll finish there for now. Vanchara kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo dante nithaya charnakam padayani patya kritvaja kakushata.